Hello, I'm sorry, I'm having a moment. Hello.
Always start with an apology, like those, you know, when people give presentations. Well, I'd like to apologize for reading. Well, don't read.
Yeah. But then I'd like to apologize for knowing in advance that I'm definitely going to go over time.
Yes. And I'd also like to apologize for mispronouncing the name of that French man. He's probably dead.
So he's not going to come rushing into the room. How dare you? Zut alors!
Imagine, that actually reminds me of a story. I don't know whether it's apocryphal or not, but of someone teaching a workshop, and they were doing a whole lot of Deborah Hay type stuff. For those of you who don't know, Deborah Hay is an American choreographer, quite influential in the kind of the fancy scene. And she was doing a whole lot of these sort of Deborah Hay informed things without knowing they were Deborah Hay informed things. And Deborah Hay was in the workshop.
That is peak cringe.
That is what?
Peak cringe.
It really is peak cringe, isn't it? Oh, can you imagine? And so actually, I heard the story years ago, but for a long time, I'd gone to painful lengths to always say, now, this is not my exercise. This is an exercise I learned from this person. Mm. I don't know where they got it from. Mm. But it also made, you know, aspects of classes pretty painful. Like it was a list of people other than me that had done stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm not name dropping. I'm just anxious.
Yes. Exactly. Just in case that person's in the room. Or it gets back to them that Simon Ellis has been teaching this exercise as if it were his own.
Which, of course, is highly likely. I feel very sorry for the Deborah Hay impersonator, because that is a
can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine? But also, it seems, I mean, that's why I'm thinking it must be apocryphal, because, we're not going to talk about this, but the way things circulate in dance is very particular. I guess, like, I mean, a lot of sort of actor training, I imagine, is a little bit similar, where, you know, where exercises come from. And,
yeah, and I think there's also a point at which it's like they become so ubiquitous, it can be quite easy to not know where things come from. I'm not saying that about Deborah Hay, I'm talking about actor training sort of stuff. It would be really easy
walking around a room getting faster and faster. I mean, who came up with that one?
Somebody who had 2 hours to fill and didn't have any exercise.
That's an in-joke for our dance listeners, who will know very well exactly what I'm talking about.
And our acting listeners as well.
I'm sure. I think basically they stole it from dance.
I mean, most of our good shit was stolen from dance. Yeah, and most of dance's good shit was stolen from physics, so it's all good.
If only. So I've got two, well...
Oh, you're coming in hot. I love this. Do it!
This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
I've got two words for you. Mm-hmm. One of them's a swear word. You can probably guess which one it is.
No, I can't. Yep.
Oh, come on. If you're going to say a description of the word that comes second, what's the most likely word you're going to use first?
Have I stubbed my toe in this context?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So fuck something, right?
Fuck that. Fuck and, this. Fuck you. Fuck him. Fuck her. Fuck me.
Oh, I've got to put the whole tick on the warning thing.
Like, oh, I'm going to do it just in case anybody wants to be offended in another language. Fudse.
Ah, cazzo.
There we go. We can swear in three languages.
So trilingual. So, fuck margarine.
Is that an instruction? This podcast has taken a very dark turn.
Whatever you're into.
I mean, I'm
doctor,
not into that.
Sorry, Professor Lee Miller. No, fuck margarine. Like, do you have feelings about margarine? Was margarine something that happened to you in the 1980s?
Yeah, margarine was done to me. I had margarine. This is very triggering. I definitely had margarine done
same
to me.
Here.
What I would say is...
should we have a margarine trigger warning at the beginning of the... Maybe you could just add one at the beginning, at the top of this episode.
Okay, I'll do that. I won't. I probably... I cooked with it a long time ago when I was first learning to cook.
Wow.
When I first learned to bake, because I would have baked with my gran. So a really, really long time ago, because she died when I was 8.
You got a high melting cooking point or whatever.
Well,
we would have been
using it for cakes. I suspect she was probably using it because it was very, very easy to blend into the sugar.
Sure.
So it was easier for me as somebody who was just learning how to bake. Because bearing in mind, you know, I would have been like 6 or 7. So this would have been about making things as easy as possible. So I remember the big sort of square tub, like really big, it felt really big. Maybe it wasn't that big, but taking big chunks of it out. And then I remember having a brief dalliance with Flora when I was a university student.
Oh, yeah.
Just because effectively you could buy that at the beginning of the term and if you just eked it out, it wouldn't go off and you could keep using it on your toast.
Imagine all the crumbs.
Oh, yeah. By the end of a term, it was basically just crumbs that you were recycling onto toast.
So, I mean, the reason, of course, it wasn't a command, but is that the results are in. And I went to the healthcare assistant. So basically my LDLs, as we described last week, low density lipoproteins, or I think I was staggering to figure out what it stood for, but I'm pretty sure that's right. I have from a family history of, and this is repeating old news, so just basically high, what you would say, what one would call high cholesterol.
Yeah.
And she led with, we could put you on statins.
Holy shit. That was the first option.
Yeah, she led with that.
Shit.
And I, of course, immediately in my head went, I got it confused with a stent. Is it a stent? Is that the right word? Slightly different.
Yeah. Wow.
And she said, the only problem is with statins is you have to take them for the rest of your life. And I went, whoa, hang on. And then she said, but I just have to tell you that.
Why do you have to tell them that?
I don't know, Leon. Why would you lead with that? So just statins is a drug, but
to lower cholesterol
levels in it. So I don't actually know how it works. I'm assuming in some way it flushes out cholesterol from your bloodstream. Maybe it's just some kind of blood thinner, but I don't know. If only we had someone listening who knew about these things and they could write in and a painfully long email and tell us everything we need to know plus extras.
Which we won't read out. We will just go, now we know. We won't share that information.
we must get to that.
Yeah, we will get to prostates later. Not today. Okay. So, you know when I had my gallbladder thing?
Yeah.
So gallbladder is similarly, it's cholesterol related. So if you have gallbladder issues, it's your body's ability to process cholesterol.
Right. I have to say, the gallbladder is one of those parts of the bodies which I think I skipped over when I was studying anatomy in first year back in 1987, but go on.
It hangs out with the liver. It does, you know, it sort of does that kind of, it hangs around being useful in that sort of way. But if you've got raised cholesterol.
I think that's what they said in the textbook.
Yeah,
it hangs out with the liver, does things.
Yeah, it's near the liver. It's... If you have raised cholesterol, it can increase the chances of you getting gallstones, which is what we thought I had, because my blood test said that I had raised LDLs. What was interesting was statins were not on the list of things that I was told. I was told what you need to do is go to a reduced fat diet. Do you need any help to do that? I said, nah, it's pretty easy, isn't it? Stop eating dairy. Get off the cheese. Don't eat meat. And the doctor went, yeah, you pretty much sorted that out. He said, peanut butter's good, just don't have a lot of it. Because it's really fatty, but it's also, it satiates the brain's need for a fatty feeling. I think the deal was I needed to keep my fat intake below 1.5 grams of saturated fat per 100 grams. That was the thing that I did.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It did mean probably that I gravitated a touch towards towards processed food because it was easy to see, which wasn't the best. But the next time I went for my my cholesterol, it was like through the floor. It was like a pretty quick.
It plummeted.
Yeah. And I obviously stayed with that diet for a little while, and then when my gallbladder stopped hurting, I just carried on eating fat again. And now, if I ever have a twinge in that area, I just go, okay, no fat for a couple of weeks.
All right, you just use it as a little, basically a little body signal.
Yeah.
By the way, this is this is for the pedants who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are at least four.
Mm.
A gallbladder, also known as the cholecyst. Never heard of that.
Oh, never.
Small
heard of
hollow organ where bile is stored and concentrated before it is released in the small intestine. Yeah. In humans, the pear-shaped gallbladder lies beneath the liver.
Ah, did I say above?
The structure and position.
Sorry.
Oh, maybe that's it. Doesn't matter.
Nearby, hanging out together.
Yeah, they hang out together. Yeah. The structure and position of the gallbladder can vary significantly among animal species. It receives and stores bile produced by the liver via the common hepatic duct and releases it via the common bile duct into the duodenum, where the bile helps in the digestion of fats.
There we go. I said it was something.
Good on
you. Ah, well, you know, I suppose I only know that because it was wonky for a while.
Wonky, yeah.
Although it turns out wasn't gallstones. I think I've said this before. It was just an infection. But there you go.
Yeah, that was very weird. So, I'm still not sure why
statins were offered.
Yeah, well, even just led with it just seems like it's quite a thing. And she was she didn't imply. She said, Basically, I have to tell you that. Like the way doctors do, they have to give you options, right?
Yeah.
These are the various options.
Yeah.
But it was just weird that she led with it. Anyway, so yeah, I'm stuck on, I'm supposed to, over the next 6 months, have a go at taking a little less, butter.
Yeah, it's the kicker. Butter is going to
be tricky. Because I don't really eat meat. I mean, occasionally, but I won't do that at all now. And then, butter, I really like it.
Maybe
that would be the common way.
Is this your body's way of saying it's time for you to move to Italy? You need to move from a dairy culture to a
Mediterranean.
Yeah, a seed oil culture or nut oil. Pip.
Yeah, I think maybe that's, if you want to interpret it that way, that's just great.
Yeah. Also, perhaps you're not drinking enough red wine. I think that that's good for everything.
you know the story, right? It's a tiny amount and only with food. It's like three times, it's like tiny quantities and very irregularly and only with food. And then, and other than that, there are no benefits.
Except it does taste delicious. I came to a realization the other day that I don't really like white wine.
Oh, no. That's taken one thing off your plate.
I mean, I usually keep it in a glass, but okay.
Yeah, metaphorical.
Okay, cool. Just had visions of you lapping up a nice Pinot Grigio.
Off a plate.
What do I mean?
Well, now that I ate his liver with the fava beans and a nice... Chianti.
But we're going to leave his liver to one side. We're just going to go straight to the gallbladder. Delicious. Do you know it's full of bile?
Yeah, no matter which way you pass that particular word bile, it doesn't sound great, does it?
No, it doesn't. But no. Okay.
Right. Yeah. But the worst thing about this, of course, is that in my veg box yesterday, a whole bunch of Brussels sprouts.
Around. Oh, and you can't halve them and then fry them in butter with some pancetta.
Yeah, and bacon.
What's the point?
Exactly.
You might as well bin them.
I didn't
them.
Realize there is another recipe for them.
Okay, so now...
I'm just going to throw them at next-door neighbours out the window and see if they notice.
Or do you not now feel the urge to just start to blend them and be the person who's constantly drinking a foul-smelling green smoothie at work? Of course, no one will know, is it the smoothie or is it Simon? Because eventually it will just become one... seeping ecosystem of fart.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, I'm not going to blend them.
Okay. Jeff loves a Brussels sprout.
Does he?
Yeah.
I could send them. I was actually thinking my sister-in-law who lives in Australia likes them too. She cooks them really well. So I was like, I could think I could send them to her, you know, surface mail.
I think probably
I'm sure
if you
that'd
send,
still last.
I think if you send them to Jeff, they'll get here quicker and probably be more appreciated because he'll be like, Simon really loves me. He sent me the tiny baby cabbages. Delicious.
Yeah, if only they tasted like tiny baby. Okay, so
What was part two of, because you said you came with two things. One was your cholesterol.
Oh, that was it. Oh, no, the other thing was actually no. There was one other thing, which is Michael Fassbender and yoga. Hello?
Hi, I'm just listening. Did you say anything? I think you might have cut out there because you just said there is...
Really?
Yeah, there is one other thing that is. And I was just like,
Everyone else who's listening right now already knows what it is that I said. And so now they're all going, oh, yes, incredible. Well, what? And you don't know what it is.
I don't.
And so they're all laughing.
They're
laughing away. And they go, and they just can't believe it. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm...
Always the last to know.
So okay, I'm gonna go in a different angle now to get to the same thing. I watched a film the other day. I know we're not a review show, Susan. Just to be clear, The Killer,
the Japanese film.
No, it's a recent film with Michael Fassbender.
Oh fucking hell! I sat through that.
But.
Sorry.
If there was,
I'm so sorry.
If there was something to talk about that film, how incredible was he at?
Doing yoga?
What? Did you know that about his yoga?
I didn't know that about his yoga, but I thought he had a pretty good form. Not perfect. There were some things that I would want to be in a room and correct him about. Just because I was worried about the pressure it was putting on his lower back. But I thought overall he had very good form. Do you know who's got better or had better form?
But he's doing hours of yoga a day to be like, because he's also shredded.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll tell you somebody who had better yoga form in a film, and it was...
Please tell me it was Ben
Affleck in The Accountant.
No, not Ben Affleck. Does he do yoga?
He does yoga in
The Accountant.
He has quite good form, but it's actually George Clooney in...
No!
Yeah, in a film from, I guess, the early 2000s where he plays a contract killer, which I think is the deal. Everybody who plays a contract killer has to be able to do yoga in these stories. And he had a beautiful, beautiful forward fold. Like, it was just really, he was really attending to his lower back. He kept his feet beautifully flexed. His shoulder blades slid gorgeously down his back. And
A sitting forward fold.
Yeah, and I gasped out loud.
Paschimottanasana.
Yeah, I will tend to say forward fold if it's a seated one, and forward bend if it's from standing, just because it's
right.
It helps my head to know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but Michael Fassbender, not bad. Your forward fold is better than his.
Yeah, but, well, I'm glad. Also, I'm a dancer.
Yeah, but, I mean, oh, sweetheart.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay. I was never much of anything.
Abandon that art form. God.
I suppose I was a yoga teacher because I haven't taught in ages. I thought that film was just so long and so boring.
Oh. Hello. Hang on.
Did you?
Just wait.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Can't hear you.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. I did something hilarious and told everybody a brilliant story that they're all laughing about now, just like before.
Yeah, there's no way that happened because that was like 3 seconds, and we all know you to tell a story in minutes, at least minutes. And lastly,
I have got nothing to talk about. All I was going to say was that was a very long film, and it was very, very boring.
I quite liked it.
I think I probably don't like men talking to themselves for protracted periods of time very much. I'm just like, oh, God.
They need someone else to talk to record and then post online.
Exactly. It was like half a podcast.
It was, with bigger guns. I don't mean biceps.
No, although he is, as you say, shredded.
Slightly emaciated.
I would say, you see, that's where I'm at. It's kind of like, I think
To get to that level, it's not great.
And it doesn't feel sustainable, but it also, you know, it might be sustainable for a small window in your 20s.
Yeah, because I had the pleasure of having my skin folds, or they're actually called fat folds these days. Curiously, just to try.
Can I just ask, have they renamed them fat folds generally, or are you just saying that yours are now fat folds?
No. They're called that because they're trying to.
You were just saying I've become such a tub of lard that they're no longer skin folds.
A tub of margarine. A tub of margarine. Thank you very much.
You're a very svelte individual.
So, yeah, I had some fat folds done. And fat folds, for those who are really interested, for all four of you, are, so yeah, because it used to be they were called skin folds, but they were trying to get away from the idea that it was actually the skin that was being measured, because, of course, the idea is that it's actually the layer of subcutaneous fat that they're trying to get a handle on. And they use these calipers, which are quite strong, and they pinch different parts of your body.
Yeah.
And they it gives you a kind of a based on – it's basically an estimate of the percentage of your body that's fat.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the correlation is with – because I think the ones that they – which are really accurate are when they submerge you in water, and then they look at displacement of something about weight. I can't remember, because fat is I need to look it up, but there's something – there are far more accurate ways to determine what percentage of your body is fat. Anyway, so it's always a slightly – they're disconcerting things, but of course I haven't had one done in about 20 years. Plus 30 years probably. And when I was having them done, I was having them done regularly, because I was really trying to get low, low, low body fat. And it was quite a difference. I mean, wow, the amount of effort I was going to the trouble and the time it was taking in terms of what I was eating and what I was doing exercise-wise to be, single digits was really, really full on. And so anything around 10 was a little bit big, and so I was getting around 5 or 6%, which was just, I was pretty. I used to go into shops and people would say, "Ooh, you're right," and my mum used to get really worried about how I was looking.
Well, yeah, I mean, that when you're in how old were you when you were in single figures?
I would have been 27, 28.
Yeah, that is low. When I had my body fat measured, I just turned 40, and on your
it's like a present to yourself.
It was It was when I was seeing a personal trainer doing all of that stuff.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
And I had my body fat measured. I just turned 40, and I didn't think of myself as being thin. I've never thought of myself as being thin. I've always thought of myself as being a little bit tubby. Always. That's what happens if you're...
You'd been doing a lot of yoga at this stage, hadn't you?
At that stage I had, and my body fat at 40 was 11%.
Oh, yeah, right.
And 11% body fat at 40 is considered dangerously low.
Yeah, yeah.
According
to
the charts.
Also, you weren't drinking alcohol.
I wasn't drinking alcohol. I wasn't eating meat. I was doing 2 hours of yoga a day, plus seeing a personal trainer 3 times a week. And when I say all of that out loud, I go, oh... Holy fuck.
It was quite a phase.
Yeah, that was an interesting midlife.
It was your Madonna phase.
It was my Madonna phase, but I didn't think I looked like Madonna. I didn't think I looked scrawny until just recently. You know how you're on an Apple product, it does memories of your of previous photographs, and you just have random things.
I turn that shit off.
Yeah. I just quite like to have things turn up, because usually it's a picture of a plate of food that
Jeffrey.
I ate. Well, it's either Jeffrey or a sandwich. Two of my favourite things. Ooh, I have been going to town on making ciabatta recently.
I made some ciabatta recently as well.
I think in the last 2 weeks I've made about 12 loaves.
Do you find it a little bit tricky?
This is interesting. The very first time I made it.
Are you making sourdough ones?
Regular yeast, yeah. I'm not making sourdough ones. My sourdough starter, I'm still in the process of waking it up properly, and I'm not happy with it yet. Because I've not really touched sourdough for probably 18 months. Yeah, so it's taking a bit of a zhuzh. Anyway, I've been making it with commercial yeast, and... I remember it being horribly wet and difficult. And then this time around, I don't know what happened. I just decided to not be bothered and not be worried about the shape of it and just leave it to it. And my loaves were perfect. Gorgeous.
Is it still really wet?
Oh, really wet. But just I decided...
And do you use a mixer, or do you just hand?
Hand. So I do five...
And do you do slap and folds?
No. I do claw. So I do 5 minutes of claw.
Yeah.
And then I cover it with a bin bag and I leave it for 3 hours. I don't touch it, don't think about it, don't do anything.
Then I
just pour a load of olive oil over the top of it, and then sort of like scooch around the edge, push the olive oil underneath it and release the air. Leave it for another hour or so, then cover the surfaces in semolina.
You just don't touch it.
Nah, exactly. Just don't touch it and then cover the surfaces in semolina and go to town.
And you sort of stretch it when you put it in the oven, or does
I stretch it as I put it into the pan to go into the oven. Anyway, that must be fascinating for people, but I've been loving that. That's my sandwich of choice at the minute.
I can't remember
how thin I was, 11% body fat. Yeah. And a picture came up that wasn't a sandwich and it wasn't Jeffrey, and it was me on my 40th birthday. And I thought, fuck me, who is that cadaver?
Yeah. Ages you as well. It tends to age you.
Yeah, I thought I looked good at the time, because anyway, it was a really surprising image to see, because I never thought in my life that I was that thin, ever.
Mm.
If you'd asked me, have you ever been thin, I'd say no, but there's photographic evidence that would suggest I wasn't slender, I was thin. And I am very glad to say that I haven't had my body fat checked in probably now 10 years. I have no intention of getting it checked. Can I still fit into these trousers? Yes, I can. Are they elasticated? Yes, they are.
Have you noticed that everything on Amazon has 4.5 stars for reviews?
No, I haven't noticed that.
It's really hard to choose things, because just, you know, I guess you've heard of that word, in shitification, it's been the word of the year. It's Cory Doctorow, who's a science fiction writer and very prolific blogger. Actually, I really quite like his writing. I haven't read a lot, but the stories I have read I've quite enjoyed. But he came up with this word, in shitification, which is basically the process by which a company like Amazon, and he uses Amazon as a, but the other one is the taxi service, which is called
Uber,
thank you. With these kinds of processes where they start off being really good for the consumer, and then they go into a phase where they become less good for the consumer but really good for the advertiser, and then they go way past that where they become what he says in shitified. And it's really, just because of the stuff I read, it's really quite common. But Lil said to me the other day, do you know that the word of the year is? And I went, it's in shitify, isn't it? She goes, it is. And it wasn't a word that she'd been familiar with, which is, as an aside, it's a curious difference between the kinds of things she's reading and the kinds of things that I'm reading.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's worth, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's really worth having a look at his detail about the process. Because if I think about Amazon now, and if I was trying to buy a particular thing, I have no clue. There's so much stuff on it that all look effectively the same. They're all Amazon Choice. They're all, you know, they're all 4.5 stars. It's just impossible.